Welcome back to the show, beautiful humans and bad bitches alike. This episode has been a long time coming. I'm sure there's quite a few people who are excited to be hearing this. I did ayahuasca just over 2 years ago now, and I've had so many people ask me to share my experience, asking me how it was, what have I learned, what did it transform for me? And I really wanted to take my sweet ass time. And so I was a bit defiant about sharing too much. And I've waited a whole 2 years to share. I'm really glad that I did this because so many things that didn't make sense initially have started to make complete sense to me. And I finally feel ready to share in a really coherent, powerful way. And also to answer some of the questions that my Instagram followers have sent in about ayahuasca. So things they're curious about and questions about my experience. So this episode is just going to be a really personal share from my heart and my lived experience, and then weaving in some answers to those questions. So I want to start with a question that I got that kind of leads into the whole backstory of why I did ayahuasca. And the question is from Olivia, and Olivia asked, how did you know you were ready to take ayahuasca? So like I said, I sat and drank the medicine in April 2021. So just over 2 years ago, but really it began in 2019 for me. So in 2019, I really heard the call. As some people have done ayahuasca will know, sometimes you get this calling from the spirit of the medicine, from her. And so I was feeling this calling and seeing it in my dreams, in my intuitive channel. I was seeing snakes everywhere, which is one of the symbols of ayahuasca. And so I really wanted to go and do it, but I knew that I wanted to do it in quote unquote the right way. So I didn't want to just go and do one of these ceremonies in like a five-star luxury kind of wellness resort where they do them. And that's pretty popular amongst spiritual influencers and coaches. I was like, if I'm going to go and have this deep experience and really immerse myself in it and do it authentically, I want to do it authentically. I want to go and sit with the traditional peoples who have been using this medicine and it comes from their lineage. I don't want to be in my usual, very comfortable space of luxury and having everything that I need, like all the creature comforts around me. I want to go and do it down and dirty and like get my hands dirty and be in the mud and be in the forest or the jungle. And so I found an incredible place through various recommendations of people who I really trust, with traditional peoples who are descendants of the Shipibo tribe, and they're very experienced with working with ayahuasca. And so I was like, that's the place I'm going to go. There's no electricity. You're literally in a hut in the middle of Peru, and that's just going to be the vibe. And I was excited to get out of my comfort zone in that way. I think a lot of people think because I'm so glam and like extra and such a Leo that I'm a bit precious, which maybe in some ways I can be, but I am also an Aussie gal from the bush, and I wanted to like be raw and wild in the jungle. So I booked it and I was ready to go in 2020. And then obviously the pandemic happened. And so yeah, wasn't going to go to Peru, you know, wasn't going anywhere except my living room and watching Netflix. So I was super disappointed, obviously. I was so ready for this and excited. And, you know, I thought maybe I'd go later in the year because we all thought it was 3 weeks to stop the curve, you know, and then the pandemic just kept going on and on and on. So I was feeling that disappointment, but I also knew if this is truly aligned, if I have really been called by ayahuasca to experience her medicine, there's a divine timing and all this. Like, there's a reason that I'm not meant to go now. So I kind of just surrendered, released it. And I was like, you know, the time will come again and I'll know when it's time. So kind of forgot about it, to be honest, was pretty distracted by the whole worldwide pandemic and whatnot. And my business was really taking off. Things were getting very busy in 2020. So kind of just parked it to the side. And then I moved to Mallorca at the end of 2020. And it was probably early 2021. And I was feeling really good. Things were really great. Was loving the move to Mallorca. Like, life was fantastic. And I was sitting at my desk one day and I just had this voice in my head that said, ayahuasca. And I'm a mental projector in human design. So a voice in my head is kind of the vibe. I've got like a narrator in my head. It's not like an anxious narrator or the voice of anxiety or anything like that. But I'm always mentally processing and getting random messages and downloads and words and sentences and little breadcrumbs to follow. So I heard the word ayahuasca and I was like, okay, maybe I'm meant to re-explore this or look at this again. And then I opened up my phone a minute later, and the first video that I saw on my phone was a video of a snake. And I was like, okay, signs, symbols, synchronicities, all right. So then I open up my Facebook app, which I very rarely check, to be honest. And the first thing I see on my newsfeed is a message in this group that I didn't even realize I was a part of. And it was this comment, this message that someone had written about a plant medicine retreat that was happening in Mallorca in a few weeks' time. And I was like, oh, okay. So I click, I realize it's an ayahuasca retreat. It's on the island that I live on, which is ideal because at this point in time, I'm not allowed to fly. I can't leave Mallorca because of my residency and it's still being processed. So then I go, okay, cool. I don't want to just go on this retreat and I don't know who's running it and I want to be cautious about this. So I send it to somebody I know that is very experienced with sitting with ayahuasca. And I said, do you know about this retreat? And this person who I really trusted said to me, this is the retreat that I've been telling you about. I've been to this thing 3 times. It's amazing. So I was like, okay, all these signs and synchronicities have kind of just come out here out of nowhere. And Facebook didn't show that to me because I was talking about it, right? And it wasn't like I was getting targeted posts or marketing based on what I'm searching for. This was happening in my mind. So it felt kind of weird and eerie and aligned. And I thought, you know what? The people who are running this are really legit. They are traditional shamans. They are respectful of this medicine. I'm hearing really good things from people that I know, mutual connections. It seems like I'm meant to heed this call. So I knew that I was ready. I knew it was time. I was getting a few signs of alignment in my dreams around the time that I decided this as well. And so I began my dieta, which is basically a diet, and how you're supposed to physically, energetically, and emotionally prepare to drink this medicine. So I was removing certain foods from my diet. I wasn't really having any salt on my food. I was reducing coffee and then eliminating it a few days before. And I was spending less time on my phone. So I was taking it pretty seriously, getting ready. I also sat out under a tree on the land that I was living on, and I connected with the elements and I sat out there meditating. And then I wrote this long letter to the spirit of ayahuasca with my intentions and questions that I had for her and what I was hoping to have revealed in my ceremony. So I really approached that like a prayer, like a request, and I started communicating with the spirit of that medicine prior to going into the ceremony. So I felt very ready. I felt very prepared. I felt like I was doing all the right things to be in the right headspace before I went, and I was pretty clear on what my intentions were. So I went into it very open-minded in the sense that I had intentions, but I was also completely open to experiencing something unexpected. I was open to, you know, like I wasn't going in like, give me this or else I'm going to be disappointed, or show me these specific things, otherwise I'm going to be really unhappy. You know, I was like, okay, I would love for ayahuasca to reveal to me any spiritual gifts, any messages, any knowings that I am ready to receive, that I'm in a good place to integrate and process. So reveal those to me if you believe I'm ready. And then I kind of just left the rest open. So I go to the ayahuasca retreat. The way I did it was, it was 4 days, 3 ceremonies. The ceremonies are quite late at night. And so you have kind of like a late breakfast, and then you fast the rest of the day. And then in the afternoon, the late afternoon, the ceremonial aspects begin. So we sat in circle. Sometimes we took other very like light plant medicines like rapé, and various other ones. And then as the night progressed, we would drink the ayahuasca, and then God knows what time it was when we finished. And you basically fall asleep in the room that you're in. You pull out your little mattress that you've been sitting on from against the wall, and these mattresses are just all through the room, and then everybody goes to sleep. So it's a little bit not your usual sleepover vibes, or not your usual retreat stay vibes, but that's just kind of how it worked, and it was good that way. So the first night was pretty easygoing for me. It was really pleasant. I was just seeing different visuals. I was really seeing a lot of images of nature and feeling my part in the natural world. So I was kind of seeing myself as like a tiger and then a bird and all these different animals, not like looking down at my body and seeing that, but in my mind, kind of like I was in a video game of images and beautiful visuals. So it was really nice and very grounded and pretty light. Like I didn't feel super out of it or anything like that. And then the second night, things got a bit more intense for me. So I was vomiting quite a lot, didn't vomit the first night. The second night was vomiting quite a lot, which sounds kind of horrific. I don't really enjoy vomiting. I don't know if anyone does, but it wasn't too bad. Like I was allowing that to happen. I was kind of embracing that whatever needed to be purged out of my body was coming out. And then in terms of what I was experiencing, I was seeing a lot of death. So I was seeing like scenes where I was, you know, wading through ocean water, and there had been a plane crash and there were bodies. And when I've been telling and recalling this with friends, a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, that sounds so scary, so horrific. It sounds that way, but I didn't feel that way. It felt kind of neutral and calm, almost like I was a fly on the wall, just observing like, hey, how did this happen? What's going on here? Interesting. There's all this death happening around me. And I noticed the same kind of death theme showing up when I would open my eyes and look at people in the room. I could physically see this woman sitting next to me, and she looked like she was dead. Even though she was moving around and walking, she looked like a zombie. And she was, in fact, going through a huge death experience herself with ayahuasca that night when I spoke to her. So I was seeing a lot of death and just kind of being very curious about that, and also not trying to immediately apply any meaning to it. I think a lot of people, when they're taking plant medicine, can be very hasty or very quick to want to tell a really cool story about it or make immediate logical sense of why they were seeing what they were seeing. But I was very clear, like, hey, this doesn't even need to make sense. It will make sense in time when I'm ready to see it, and when the message that is here for me becomes obvious to me. So that was the second night. And then the third night was definitely the hardest. And a lot of people in the ceremony I was in said the same. I think the medicine that they were offering us, the blend, etc., was getting more and more potent as we were journeying through the ceremonial experience. So the third night became very, very intense at certain points. There was this woman in the room and she was sat next to me and she kept kind of infringing upon my personal space. So you're sat quite close to other people, but you're forewarned and they let you know to just be mindful of other people around you. Obviously, you're in very close proximity. People are going through really intense experiences. Some people are screaming or vomiting, crying, dancing. So you're allowed to have that full expression, but you still need to be mindful of other people. So anyway, this woman was not being mindful of me at all. I think she was on another planet. She was touching me. She was trying to lay on me. She kept coming into my space and I was getting so annoyed, but I wasn't saying anything. I was kind of like shoving her off me and just trying to stay in my own zone. Then she moves in front of me, and in front of me in the circle is where the shamans and their facilitators are sat. They're playing instruments, making music, etc. And she starts causing this huge scene. So she at one point tries to steal the guitar off one of the shamans. Then she's singing over the top of all of them, but not making any sense. She's yelling out for somebody called Antonio. She sounded like an opera singer, you know, like, Antonio, help me, Antonio. Antonio was not in the room, so I don't know who he was. But like I said, she was on another planet. She was really obviously like not in her body, and she had gone somewhere else in this experience. And she was very, very distressed and very disruptive. And it was making me so angry. It was so chaotic. And what I was finding is I was really struggling to just be in my own energy, to be in my own zone. And I felt like I was absorbing her energy. Maybe part of this is because I'm a mental projector. And so what that means is a mental projector is almost like a reflector in that almost all of our centers are open. The only closed defined centers in my body graph and human design is the top of my head, the crown, and the ajna, the third eye. So the rest of me really absorbs and amplifies other people's energy around me. And so I was getting so angry, and then the room was getting more and more chaotic. So there were people running around. There are people who had reverted to almost like a toddler-like state and were laughing and sprinting around and falling on the floor. There was people vomiting everywhere, screaming. One guy got naked and cut off all his hair. There was a point where I thought, oh my goodness, if a film crew came in here right now, or like the police, what a scene they would come across. But it was basically like I felt as if I was this eye in the middle of a storm. And I kept getting wrapped up in the storm of what was going on around me. I was getting frustrated because all I wanted was to just be in my own energy, in my own experience and thoughts. And I felt unable to almost do anything about it. I felt like I can't tell her to shut up, or I can't tell her to fuck off and to stop flapping her arms around in front of me and touching me, because she's not even in her body right now. She's in a disembodied experience. She's gone to some other place, as had a lot of people in this room. And so I was feeling this frustration and this wanting to speak up, but feeling like it was useless and like I was in the middle of this crazy storm. And I was seeing again a lot of these visuals of death and things dying away and frustration and feeling stuck. Like I felt like I was stuck in the middle of this crazy storm with no options, nowhere to go. And it came to this point where I realized this storm is just going to happen around me. This death and this destruction and all of these people in their process, this is happening whether I want it to or not. And so if I want to come into my own truth, my own experience, I'm going to have to go within myself right now. I'm going to have to find a way to tune out that noise and to come back into my heart, to come back into my innermost self. And in that moment, I don't know what happened, but in that moment of realization and surrender, it was like the entire room just tuned out. And I was in the most peaceful, beautiful state inside of myself. And the sensation of it, how it felt viscerally, it was like some kind of beautiful mothering spirit had entered into my body and started breathing through me. So if you've ever done a rebirthing breathwork session, or if you've ever done one with me, there's usually a point in your rebirthing session where the breath starts breathing you. So it's like you don't even feel like you're the one moving your lungs or moving your diaphragm, your breath in and out. It's like this automatic breath breathing you. And that's how I felt, but times a thousand. And it was the most beautiful feeling. I felt like I was back in the womb space almost. It's kind of hard to explain these ayahuasca experiences sometimes, but that's the best way I can describe it. I felt like I was back in the womb space. And around the time that I felt this, the music completely shifted in the room, and there was just this one guitar and this one woman singing in the most beautiful angelic voice. And how it felt was like I was in my mother's womb being sung to. And then when I sort of came to again, I felt very grounded. I almost felt like I had been reborn. There was this very big feminine energy there of death and rebirth, of heaven and earth. I felt the flavors of the goddess Inanna with me. And, you know, she's this goddess of rebirth and going to the underworld and rising back out stronger. And so that's kind of the vibe of what was going on. And the weirdest thing that happened was that when I later went to the bathroom, I had gotten my period, but it wasn't due. Like I had only just had a period. So I was obviously letting something else go from my womb space. It was just like a mini period for a few drops of blood and then it went. The woman next to me was having a very similar experience. I spoke to her the following day. She was in her visions giving birth to a baby. And then the woman next to her, she had been pacing around the room and I'd seen that her hands were kind of out in front of her tummy while she was walking around. And she was having this vision that she was pregnant. And so we, all of us sitting in this row, none of us knew each other, were all having these very similar threads of experience around rebirth and mothering ourselves and sort of moving through the storms of your life and then letting yourself come back to you and be reborn even stronger and even more grounded in who you are. So that was kind of the vibe of what happened and how I knew it as it happened. But what I started to realize over the last 2 years is what many of these experiences actually meant. And what I truly believe is that ayahuasca was giving me a preview or premonition into the next 2 years of my life as a healer, as a coach, mentor, and an online business owner, and what was going to happen in the industry. So 2021 went on to be this amazing year for me after ayahuasca. I had a lot of success. I was really blazing forward in a lot of power. My business was doing the best it's ever done. I felt really tapped into my truth, my power, my voice, my work. And then come 2022, I feel like I entered that death chapter or that death experience that I had seen or foreseen during ayahuasca. So I felt very much many times in 2022 in the coaching and spiritual industry, like I was this person sitting in the eye of a storm with people losing their minds around me, with parts of the coaching and spiritual industry starting to collapse, starting to die off. And that was obviously super uncomfortable, as it had been when I was sitting in the same discomfort of purging, vomiting, and experiencing all this stuff during my ceremony. And what the gift really was of ayahuasca was it put me into this almost like this pressure cooker experience in this room with all of these people who were very disembodied. There was a lot of people in my ceremony who I could feel had a lot of trauma and maybe shouldn't have just been doing ayahuasca. Maybe they should have been doing some therapy rather than going to these extremes, because I could tell a lot of them were very much not grounded. They were doing ceremony after ceremony after ceremony. Some of these people had done like 5 of these ceremonies in a row and were still feeling very lost and not taking time to really do the inner work alongside taking these very strong medicines. And so it gave me this premonition, or almost like this orientation for how to handle myself in moments when things are all burning down around you, how to handle yourself when there are people around you having really chaotic experiences, who are projecting shit onto you, who are going through their own suffering and being really loud about it, and how to exist and come back into my inner peace and into my power, no matter what is going on around me, no matter how much crazy shit is happening around me, no matter how stormy or chaotic things are feeling in the environment that I'm in. It gave me the strength, the tools, and the awareness of how to drop back into me and to not get sucked into the drama cycles, to not get sucked into the noise and the chaos that's all around me, or literally right next to me in the case of that woman that I mentioned. The really funny thing is that the woman that was next to me getting all up in my grill in the ayahuasca ceremony literally looks identical to one of these accounts on Instagram that is like the anti-coaching industry accounts. Like one of these accounts is dedicated to bringing down the coaching industry and calling people out. And I'm not saying anything either way about that, but the woman who runs that account looks identical to the woman who wouldn't stop touching me and flapping around in my face and stole a guitar from the shamans. So it was kind of that weird synchronicity for me of like, okay, sometimes you got to learn how to take what people are saying with a pinch of salt and tune out, and also be able to discern between when someone is giving you constructive feedback versus when someone is just projecting all of their experiences onto you and wanting to make you responsible for cleaning that up, or wanting you to just take it all. So that was kind of funny when I realized that. And it was one of those full circle moments. So I want to answer some more questions that I got, because I think there's a lot of discernment that you should practice if you're thinking or sort of wondering whether you should do a plant medicine like ayahuasca. So somebody asked me, is it suggested to try if somebody has depression? I feel like it's such a loaded question and there's no solid answer. It's so nuanced. And like, I didn't say this, but I'm not a doctor. And so I can't tell anyone, nor would I ever tell anyone, you should do ayahuasca or you shouldn't. But what I would say is, if you have those predispositions, those contraindications like depression or psychiatric issues, or you just have maybe, I don't know, a predisposition in your family to certain kinds of mental struggles or illnesses, I think you have to be very careful with these medicines. They're very, very, very strong, and you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position when you take them. You do not know how you're going to respond to that medicine. So for me, I had a history of mental illness in the sense that when I was 22, I had PTSD and I had some panic attacks and I was feeling very anxious and depressed for a time. But I have done now a decade of healing. I have made healing basically my entire reality. I've done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of coaching. I've done a lot of somatic healing. I've done so much breath work to release things. And I'm someone who has rewired their nervous system. I have a very healthy nervous system now. And so for me, even though I had that history, I knew going into ayahuasca that I would be okay because I know that I'm very resilient now. I know that, I can have my own back when shit goes down. I felt pretty confident about that. So I wasn't worried about that. But not to scare you, but also just real talk, there are people who have taken ayahuasca who have had really fucked up things happen. So I know someone whose relative did ayahuasca and it set off schizophrenia in his brain and he's still not okay. And there are other people who have had not so positive or really harmful outcomes. I also think who you do it with and who's facilitating it for you and the kind of space that they hold, how they hold it is very important as well. So you really want to be clear on why you're doing it. Do you have like a plan in place for aftercare, how are you going to integrate the experience? If you are working with a therapist, like what does your therapist think about it? You know, I think it's better to be more on the cautious side with these things. And I also think it's worth saying that if you have something like depression or, other issues with your mental health, there are so many other healing modalities that are going to be helpful for you that don't involve ingesting like a mystery substance, you know, not that these substances are just these kind of mystery potions, but sometimes the outcome or how it affects you is mysterious. There's no solid evidence or solid like box you can tick and say, this is definitely going to happen for you. And this definitely isn't. You know, it's kind of unpredictable. So I would say people who have depression or other contraindications for plant medicine should be very, very cautious. What else did you guys ask? Okay, Alex asked, would you do it again? I think I would do ayahuasca again. And I can say that now that it's been 2 years. I personally, after I did that ceremony, was never going to be the type of person to be like, okay, yeah, let's go back again next month. But there are a lot of people who are in my ceremony who were doing that, who were coming every month or every second month or every few months for more and more ayahuasca. And for me, that was just never the way I was going to do it. I was really taking it seriously. I didn't take any of the other plant medicines that were offered on this retreat. They also offered Cambo and Bufo. And I didn't even do those because I really wanted to have this pure, this like pure experience of this is what ayahuasca felt like for me. This was the message. I didn't want to cloud it. I didn't want to just be having a party of different plant medicines all at once. You know, it wasn't like I was doing this on a whim or as like a fun way to take all these psychedelics. I felt called by ayahuasca and I wanted it to be this really sacred experience with that medicine and the spirit of that medicine. So I didn't jump into it lightheartedly, nor was I immediately going to run back and do it again. But now that it's been 2 years, I do feel like I've really integrated a lot of the subtle messages and the big messages from the experience, and I'm in a totally different place. I really feel like that ceremony or those ceremonies nudged me into a different couple of degrees, new direction. And as you know, with a compass, right? If you're steering a ship and you just change the wheel like a tiny little bit, it doesn't look like the boat is moving that far wide or differently, but over miles and miles and miles, you end up in a totally different place. Yeah. So I feel like ayahuasca just kind of nudged me a few degrees in the right direction towards my most true and powerful, mature, womanly self. And now I feel like, yeah, I could be ready for round two, but I don't have any plans right now for round two. And I think if I do it again, I will probably go to Peru, to the jungle, and do it that way rather than doing it here in Mallorca, just for some variety and to do it the really like traditional way. What was the one message or biggest takeaway / visual that has guided you since you took it? Well, I feel like I've explained the kind of main things that I experienced, but one of the messages that came through really clearly in that moment where I described to you going from being really angry and distracted by all the chaos around me to then dropping into this very spiritual, feminine experience with Goddess Inanna and that breath that was breathing me, I had this message come into my head just before that happened. And it was like, you are in the eye of the storm right now. The answer is you. Go inside of you and weather this storm. Like, the power is inside of you. And that was kind of like the switch that clicked, and then I went into that gorgeous experience. And so I've really carried that message with me, especially last year in 2022 and now, in that you can't control the storms that happen around you. You cannot control the storms that come into your life, but what you can allow is for those storms to clear the path for you. You can surrender to the fact, like, these storms are happening in my life, or these things are dying in my life, or this shit is kicking off, or this chaos is happening, or these challenges are here. They're inevitable, whether I want them to be here or not. Kind of like that annoying woman who was sitting next to me. There was nothing I could do. She was there and having her own experience, regardless of what I wanted. And so instead of resisting what is and what you cannot change, how can you use those moments where the storms are in your life and come even deeper into your center? And that's where you find your power. For me in the ayahuasca ceremony, that was the most powerful moment where I was able to go from such friction and pressure and frustration into this awareness of, like, there is stillness and peace and power within you always, no matter how noisy it is around you. And that has just been a saving grace or a North Star for the last 2 years for me. I had a few people also ask where I did it. So I did it here in Mallorca, as I shared. I don't know if I can share the name online because I don't know if it's legal. Yeah, I don't actually know. But if you want to know, I can give you the details. There's quite a lot of, you know, shamanic healers on the island here, Mallorca, where I live. But the place that I was going to go to in Peru, what was it called? God, my memory's so bad these days. I'll look it up. And if you want to know, message me on Instagram and just ask me. I think it might have been... No, I can't fucking remember. The last question that I want to answer is from Gracefully Bold, who asked, did you feel like you embodied your shadows as well as your light during your experience? Yes, definitely. I mean, I feel like the whole thing was a shadow work extravaganza because I saw so much death the entire time. So it was really weird. Like a lot of people in the room were very much struggling. You know, they were crying when they were vomiting. It sounded like a beast or a demon was exiting their body, you know, people laying on the floor. Like it was insane, right? So I wasn't really like that. I felt very kind of grounded in myself. I was very aware of my body. I felt very in my body. And I think maybe some of that is a result of the fact that like embodiment is my work, you know, it's my craft. It's something that I've personally been committed to every day in my life for the last 10 years. And I do a lot of body-based healing on myself. And, you know, I'm a breathwork teacher. So it's all about being in your body and facing the dark parts of yourself and giving all of you compassion. So I felt very anchored in myself in a way, but I was seeing a lot of death. I was seeing a lot of shadow. I was seeing this premonition, didn't realize it was a premonition at the time, but this preview of parts of myself and my identity falling away, you know, parts of my ego falling away, things that I had used to validate myself, like my success and, you know, just being a kind of successful person in my industry, like all the ways that I had unconsciously used that success to prop up my self-esteem. And I believe ayahuasca was really showing me that shadow and saying like, hey, I'm going to give you loads of success. So you're going to create loads of that in 2021. You're going to have like seven-figure year and be doing so many amazing things and feel on top of the world. And then the next year, you're literally going to burn it all down or it's all going to come crashing down. And you're going to be in the storm of your emotions and doubts and new imposter syndrome. And like, I'm going to show you that you are strong and capable and powerful through the highs, but also through your lows and more so through your lows, and how you rise and carry yourself and remember who you are through those darker experiences, through, you know, the adversity, through the challenges, through the confusion. How you rise through that is actually what determines the outcome. And instead of you being in the eye of the storm, you realize you are the storm. So I feel like the premonition that it was offering me was really a well-rounded visual and visceral experience of you have all of this light inside of you. You're very embodied. You're very grounded. And you still have all this shit that you need to work on. And I'm basically going to bring this storm into your life soon to clear it out. And how are you going to carry yourself through that? And it was almost like those ceremonies were like a training session for how I was meant to carry myself through 2022. They were the training wheels for that. Putting me in like the pressure and the crunchiness and feeling so sick and purging so much, so that then when 2022 came and I went from being very successful and confident to feeling like a fucking caterpillar, I had this memory in my body of like, oh, okay, yeah, in these moments, this is what we do. We surrender, we breathe deeper, we start tuning out of all the opinions and the noise around us, and we come back into what's true, and we listen to ourselves as that storm clears shit around us. And so it's been so valuable. So much of it didn't make any fucking sense to me until like the last few months. And so if you are someone who is sitting with this medicine or even sitting with other powerful medicines like Mama Mushroom or any of the other ones that tickle your pickle, I would say like really prepare yourself, take it seriously, and also just give yourself permission to not have to make sense of it right away. You know, like had this all been handed to me really explicitly by ayahuasca, like if it was shown to me really clearly back in 2021, I don't think that the person I was back then would have been able to receive that humbly, would have been able to actually take that message on and integrate it. I'm now in a position where I feel like, yeah, you know what? I've eaten my humble pie the last year and I'm ready to rise again. Thank you so much, Ayahuasca, for showing me the way and giving me a chance to get ready for these fucking initiations that I just went through. So yeah, I feel very grateful. I feel happy to share. I hope it makes sense to you guys or you took something away, because it's such a crazy experience that sometimes I'm like, I don't know if this even makes sense when I articulate it. And there are parts of the journey that I haven't even shared here because I can't even give language to it. It's kind of like trying to explain to someone what love feels like. You know, you can kind of explain it in very surface level logical ways that people can understand, but then there's all these other layers beneath it where you're like, I can't explain that. It's just something that had to be felt and that I feel. So very much like that for me. And while it could have been a very destabilizing experience, and it did destabilize certain parts of my life that I was clinging to, it actually has made me a much more stable person. I feel so unfuckwithable. I feel like ayahuasca creating this change in my life, which is what I believe, by the way. I don't believe it was just like it showed me this message in 3 days of ceremony and then that was that. I feel like the letter that I wrote to ayahuasca created an opening, and then ayahuasca like set in motion this butterfly tsunami effect in my life. And that tsunami has created so much more space, so much more power, but also confident humility within me. It allowed me to let go of things that I think I would have otherwise clung to for a long time. And it's allowed me to rise again like the fucking phoenix that I am. So I'm so grateful, and I'm always happy to answer any of your questions if you're thinking about doing something like this. Obviously, I can't advise you on what to do, but I can always share my thoughts and my experiences. And yeah, it's always helpful to ask someone about these things, especially if you're feeling a bit unsure, yeah? And that's what I did when I was going to do it. I asked other people that I knew, that I trusted, who had experienced this medicine before, so that I could be really well prepared and feel as safe as possible in my body before I went into that journey. So I hope this was helpful, illuminating, insightful for you. And thanks for listening. Thanks for waiting 2 years for me to share it if you're one of the people who has been. And I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have a beautiful day. Make sure you check out the episode show notes. Please take a moment to review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, if you have a moment. And when you do that, send me a screenshot and I give you £100 gift voucher to pretty much any of my programs. So sharing is caring. Reciprocity is love. If you love the show, do that now. And I'm thanking you in advance and sending you tons of love. Have a beautiful rest of your day, guys.